help. Let's just lift our hands and give him a wave offering here in Alabama. Lord, we thank you. We worship you. Father, we thank you for gathering us here today. Father, we thank you for what you're going to say to us. Father, we thank you for Israel and the importance of what you're doing there right now. Father, we thank you for America and how you're changing it. Because, Lord, you are Lord. You're Lord over the nations. And, Father, we come here in Florence, Alabama, and we decree that you are Lord of this nation. Father, we thank you. Now I want you to extend your hands to this worship leading Judah team, and let's thank God they have led us into his presence. Let's just thank him. Now, if you guys will just sort of hang loose, I'm going to share, and then I'm going to turn it back to Eddie. Then we'll just worship, then we'll hear Dr. Dutch Sheets. Let's thank God for Florence, Alabama. Thank God right now for Florence. And let's thank God for this particular place, this church. What an awesome place. And then Kent and Bev, we thank God how you've helped us get to this place in Alabama. Let's thank God for Kent and Bev Maddox. Kyle Searcy, we're so glad you're here today. I flew into Montgomery just so I could go to Montgomery since you haven't invited me in a long time. It's a very important city for the future. You may be seated for a moment. Wow. It is such a blessing to be here. I know the Lord sent us and gathered us. And the obedience of each of you is very, very important to him. And how you continue to follow him today will, I believe, be a key to turn this nation. I have not seen a state rally more or pursue the Lord more than what I have seen here in Alabama. And it's worth clapping for. But we're here at probably one of our most crucial impacting times that we have ever had as a nation. And yet, I see the Lord. I want you to say that out loud. I see the Lord. See, that's what Isaiah said when he, at their most crucial time, in that portion of history, when he saw the Lord deal with Uzziah, the king. It caused Isaiah's eyes to be opened in a way that his eyes had never been opened. And he had prophesied. He was known as the prophet of the time. And yet, he saw the Lord based upon what the Lord did. Now, I want us to know we are in for a year ahead where we're going to see what the Lord does. And it's really key. So let's look at Alabama today. See, we're in a now time, but we're warring for the next dimension of glory. Look at somebody next to you and say, you haven't gotten there yet. And it's that glory realm that is going to unlock harvest. and harvest is moving. Now, that's another principle for you to grab hold of. Harvest is in movement right now. And you are becoming one of the key prototypes of the harvest ahead. See, when the Lord caught me up in 2008, on May 31st, he showed me this. And this is what Alabama looked like from heaven. Now, I want you to really look at that. That is who you are. It's not what you will be. That's who you are. And see, because the Lord spoke to me in 2008, and he said, in 12 years, in 2020, I will begin my new movement. And we're already in the move of God, and that's what he saw you as in 2008 on May 31st. So think like that. See, when he first met Peter, there were only two of John's disciples that left that wineskin and went with Yeshua. So see, when we're in that moment of incredible change, not everybody goes for it. Now, I want you to know that. Only Philip and Andrew left John's. The Word of God goes ahead and says in both Matthew 11 and Matthew chapter 9 that the others went back with the Pharisees. See, so there comes a point where we go one way or the other. We either keep going into the new or we go back. Look at somebody and say, we are not going back. And when Andrew brought him Peter to meet, Peter was a fisherman, and when he brought Peter to Jesus looked at him and said, they call you Simon, but I will call you Peter. In other words, he prophesied the first moment he met him and said, this is who you are. And yet, he didn't become that till 3 years later. See, that's the power of the prophetic word. It releases things that are as they should be. And this is who you are. You have a glory realm in this state that will penetrate the entire nation. Now, that's key. Now, with that, we have to couple that with time. What happened in 2020 was we entered, actually at Rosh Hashanah 2019, we entered into a new era. It's an era of war. And it's the era in Hebrew called Peh, where the voice becomes the important factor. Now, if any of you were watching the news last week, hell hates the voice. That's all it boils down to. God's been saying it for this whole decade that there will be a war over the voice. And anytime his voice is being penetrating the atmosphere to bring change, hell begins to war. And that's why you see that this era of war looks like this. The line of the tribe of Judah is blowing down from heaven. And yet, the dragon is rising and saying, I'll try to stop this every way I can. But God, everybody say that, but God. Now, here's another view of Alabama and what it looks like. It has apostolic centers. Those apostolic centers, when they align, they create a glory explosion. Now, in 2008, God had not fully defined the apostolic centers for the movement ahead, but that has been defined. Let's thank God one more time for this apostolic center. It's not the same as a church. We build the church, we unlock the kingdom. Apostolic centers are like keyholes in a territory that God uses to unlock the entire move in days ahead. So that's the way you want to look at the network of apostolic centers in Alabama. Now, we're halfway through this era. And this is what this year looks like. 5, 7, 8, 5. See, all fives are linked with grace, and all fives are linked with another element in Hebrew called high places. Therefore, this year we've had grace to define the high places of the land. That's the best way to look at the year we have just lived through. And it's linked with the five in Hebrew. It's linked with one other word. It's hey. It's linked with the window of heaven and blowing in revelation. So this is quite a revelatory year. But we're shifting now in the next 2 weeks into God's most dear month to him, because it's where his timetable begins to release the next dimension of revelation into the earth, and this window that has been positioned above us all of a sudden is positioned, and the spirit of revelation starts coming down on his people. Now, why is that so important in this decade of this era? See, history's being rewritten. That's what an era is about. But in this decade, all of a sudden, that shifts us into a motion we have never been in. In other words, every time you shout hallelujah, that window begins to move and the wind of heaven starts coming down on you. We better shout hallelujah right now. And so in God's timetable, when he gets to the feast, because he determined his covenant time around Shabbat, Rosh Kodesh, and the feast that he commanded Israel to worship. Now, those feasts are not feasts that we legalistically have to do certain things to be approved by God. Those feasts are where God remembers and comes back to that time and connects revelation. And so as we get ready to enter that moment in time where we shift to Rosh Hashanah, all of a sudden we're shifting into the revelation that we need to move forward. Now, Alabama, you're the first that I'm sharing this at, because you're the first that's going to move forward. Look at somebody and tell them, get ready. Now, see, and when we shift into that new cycle, all of that timing, covenant timing, it revolves around harvest. See, all God's timing. Biblically, seed time and harvest are, and all of a sudden, Rosh Kodesh, it's linked with how the cycles of the earth prosper. And then feast times are linked with the celebration that causes us to remember all God's done so we can see clearly what he's going to do. Now, you are sitting in this meeting at before the shift. And because I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, this is so unusual that you would bring us to this meeting. Then I'll come back and celebrate Feast of Tabernacles with you. And he said, I have an order. Spoke it to me so clearly. And I am telling you, I am here to announce to you, his eye is on you. Therefore, cause your eye to awaken in a whole new way. See, we see into the spirit realm because we have a spiritual eye that is awakened. And see, the new cycle of redemption always starts at Feast of Trumpets, where there's a sound that comes forth, and the sound of heaven connects with earth. It's where we have a day of awe, where we're really seeking the Lord so that we can be fully restored. And it's those days of awe are so important for us because it rebuilds us with strength so we can move forward. And then here's the hard requirement from the Lord. We are called to celebrate for a week. Now, why did God ordain that? He ordained it, and I think you just have to know, you are called once a year to celebrate for a week. That is one of the most difficult things to do, to stay happy for a week. Look at somebody and say, we'll work with you this year. It's important. I mean, remember they came out of Babylon. Ezra read the word. It came alive to them. They began to weep over all the mess they had been in over the last whole 70 years. And Nehemiah stopped them and said, this is not a day of weeping. These are days of rejoicing for 7 days. So that you gain the strength to move forward into the future. And the word strength means you are ready for your next battle. And so I believe God has chosen you guys. Look at somebody and say, it likes this Alabama place. And then at the end of that celebration, see, you're dancing with revelation. They're required to dance with the revelation. Well, now, all you have to do is know your life is connected into that. Therefore, when you enter in some way in your own life, it gets activated. So, Alabama, there's a dancing hand that's moving over you, getting ready to land on you. And Kyle, God said it will land on Montgomery. And when it lands down on Montgomery this year, it's going to shift off the reproach that came on Montgomery that affected an entire nation. Now, that brings us to what we're about to enter in. Thanks to James Nesbitt, I can show you this incredible picture, 5, 7, 8, 6. See, 6 is linked with man. Look at somebody and say, finally, this whole year is about you. I mean, some of you try to make every year about you, but this year God is looking at us personally. And 6 is the word Vav. And that's what it looks like. It's that tent peg that comes down so that everything you have for the future, you stake your claim on. And that brings us to Alabama today. See, the very first scripture in the Word of God is heaven loves earth. In the beginning, heaven, he connected heaven and earth. That's what Vav means. This is a divine season to connect everything you've pressed forward into. Now, let me couple it back with the decade we're in. We have to connect this year to defeat the enemy's plan for the future. Because we're in a season of war, and it's intensifying. And it's intensifying against the voice of God. And therefore, it's very important we enter into this time, a year to gather, a year to connect, a year to stake our claim. And it always has a dichotomy in Hebrews. Satan has a hook. So I want to say this. You need to make sure that eyelet in you is unscrewed so he can't hook into you. Because the word hook is also the word vav. And matter of fact, his word to us is, I want you to hook Leviathan this year. So get ready, my people. You're going fishing. And Alabama, my eye is on you over how you defeat Leviathan in Alabama. You are good fishermen here, and you are going to hook a whopper this year. That's my word to you. Now, so let's put it all together. See, here's this window in heaven. Here's the call of the levels of glory that's coming in, and you were the state filled with glory. And it's not about your football teams. And you've had those moments. But it is about his kingdom movement. And this year, the word is going to pour out. Now, Dutch, I want to encourage you, get ready. Revelation, you have lived revelation before us. This year is coming together and going to be connected in ways you've never connected it. And your message is going to be so dividing and penetrating that it literally causes shaking. Where you go. Now that brings me to Florence. See, we are entered into an accelerated time of reformation and transformation. Things are going to move in an accelerated motion. And we've got to really know how to ride the motion in days ahead. Now, I want to go back to what happened with me when Dutch was speaking in at the Citadel in South Carolina, and I want to re-show you. God caught me up again, just like he did in 2008. And as he caught me up, he showed me America. He showed me four ruling angels around America. And then he showed me these 51 angels circle in, and he said, I have encircled America. America is surrounded. So in all the things you see and all the messages you see, America has been surrounded by the Lord. It was a moment. It was really the moment of change. And yet all these angels had their sword in their sheath. That means they weren't ready to go to war for us. And they were there. They had not been sent, and the Lord said he would start sending them at Passover 2024. State to state to state, and then by the time that we got to November, he was ready to start shifting a nation in a new way. Because he has angelic help in these nations. Now, that brings me to what happened to me here the last time we were here in March. When I drove up, there was an angel standing in that field right out here. Now, I want to say to you, I don't always see angels, but this one was visible with my eye, standing in the field, that block right over here. And since then, the Lord says, the angel of Alabama is here. Now, I'm going to say this to you, because my assignment as a seer, which I'm not that excited about, is how I'm going to see the angels when the time comes for them to visit the states, and whether they're going to pull their sword out or keep their sword in. And the first angel I have seen in a state is the one in Alabama. And it's here. That's why we had to come back here. That angel is here. Some way or another, the worship here, the environment here, the call on here, and you being in Alabama, he decided to come down here. Now, that means we had to gather here to move forward. And we have to learn to know that he comes down where he sees the ark being established. The whole ark is being established in Alabama. But he came down here to send us forth in the movement. And the Lord keeps saying to me, if you'll follow me, if you'll follow me, you'll see revival and awakening. But we have to know our point of being sent. And he had to bring us back here to send us forth, I think, for an entire nation at this Rosh Hashanah. It's a weighty thing. I mean, and, you know, as a minister, as somebody who has given their life fully to follow him, you wonder sometimes why Alabama. And yet, he's the first angel I've seen stationed in a state so far. Now, I wouldn't say this to you if it, I just wouldn't say it. I mean, you know, I stay on the verge of being put away anyway, so. But I don't care. I have to tell you. Yours is here. It's really that simple. And, you know, I got up this morning around 4:30 and really sought the Lord and wanted to do something really good, you know. And yet, all I could think of is your angel is here. And then I thought, well, I want to get there. I want to go out on that little field. And you can feel his angelic presence when you turn on the road. It's that strong. Now, if you're not feeling it, you need to let the Lord do it in you. Because he's here. He's still here. And I thought, and yet we rushed in. I hate to rush in. But, you know, Aaron's still young enough and handsome enough that he has to work out. I don't. And he got back and I said, it is 9:30. He said, we'll make it. And, you know, I tried to tell Pam one time I should work out. And she said, you quit working out the week after we got married. And then Paul Keith was speaking one time, you know, he really can look good. And I said, you know, maybe if I worked out and got a tan, I could look like Paul Keith. And she said, listen, first of all, you don't tan. You get red, redder, and then purple. That's not going to work out for you. Second of all, you have never worked out. You'd probably die the first day. And then she looked at me and she said this, you've got a very good mind. It got better, at least. You've got a real good mind. You've got great hair. But the key to your life is you see into dimensions we don't see. So just use what's working for you. Your angel is here. Now, what does that mean? See, we're in this time where America will be visited over these next 2 years. And this angelic war-leading angel has come in to our dimension over harvest, but now he is establishing the movement of harvest, and Lord Sabaoth is sending the angels in for movement. And that brings me to the order of angelic movement for you to move with in Alabama. And one of the things I've done through the years, I've gone through and just watched the order of the angelic. Tim Sheets is the best teacher on angels I know. And his books on angels are incredible. But really, the key is to know the order. See, the first angelic mention is when Hagar gets pregnant and Sarah gets mad over it, and it was Sarah who initiated it. And she leaves, and God stops her. He sends an angel to her. The very first mention of anything is always important. And this angel stops her and says, you need to return because I've got to reset some timing that needs to happen. And so she told Hagar, you return and you submit to Sarah. Now, the first assignment, once you see this angelic host to lead, is he says, wait a minute, make sure you have returned to certain places and realigned time there. Then when you see the next movement of the angelic movement, and I'll just tell you, you know, after being in the Word and the world and all, she had to return for Ishmael to be born. Ishmael had to be there with Abraham until he got circumcised. Now, don't think there isn't a remnant that God's not going to call out of the Muslim nations. A huge remnant, because God started off by circumcising Ishmael after he made covenant with Abraham. So that says we need to be aware of the movement and the stirring of the movement. And then, of course, the next time you see angelic intervention, it's where the angels are coming back to tell Sarah, you're going to get pregnant. And Abraham is entertaining them. And so what you want to listen to here in Alabama is your words of multiplication. Abraham, I am going to do what I said. Now, Abraham is already 99 by this time. I'm going to do what I said. And the multiplication is going to begin. And it doesn't matter if others laugh at it. Sarah laughed at it. But let me tell you, she ends up being the first woman in the faith chapter. So something happened after she heard this angel, even though she laughed at the thought of getting pregnant at 90, which that does sound sort of wild. But it started the multiplication process that was necessary. I'm here to announce to you, Alabama, a multiplication process is in the movement. But here's the hard part about this angelic visitation that we're entering into. The next visitation of an angel was to Sodom and Gomorrah. And they were forced to make a choice. The hardest thing of our prayer life in days ahead is going to be determining places that will refuse the Lord and he has to judge. And you don't pray the same way for that. People, you don't get down on your knees and start screaming, oh, kill that whole city over there. Don't do that. God says when you see death coming, you don't pray about that. See, I grew up where God himself taught me that. When he told me my own dad would be dead in 3 months, he said, and my grandmother said, I will agree with that, but we will not mention this again, and the Lord will take control. And that's what 1 John says. It says you don't pray about things like that. Once he's determined. Now, Alabama, you are the first nation, first state in this nation that you have enough glory working in this nation that the whole state could change. The whole state could turn toward the glory of God, but not all states will turn. I could only say that clearly here because you have turned. And we are headed into a turning time for 2 straight years. And then the next time you see an angelic visitation, he visited Moses and he caused a bush to burn. Now, in a moment, I'm going to pray for you that you're going to see like Moses, where the bushes are burning, and that's where deliverance is going to sweep forth as a movement. You can't just create it. We are entering into a supernatural time of visitation. And then once that happens, he's going to order a divine path of how you connect and move together. In other words, I look here, it was so easy how you gathered to hear. And that's the way the movement's going to happen, because what God did was he called them out by tribes. You never want, there's lots of different tribes and identities all over Alabama, but you are going to be required to move together at times. And it's not about you all agreeing over everything, except that there is a movement, God is good, and we're going to submit and allow him to direct this movement. Colin will say again, Montgomery is key. And then, because here's the good thing about today. I know this isn't a usual message for anybody. It's almost like he's bobbing from heaven to earth today to start a movement all across the U.S. And angelic visitation is like a bob. The Holy Spirit came down and bobbed, rested. So you're going to have to keep the ark central in the movement. And you're going to have to watch how your path is ordered and defined for the movement. And as you keep the ark central, see, you're going to be ready. And I really believe you've got one of the strongest remnants in America that you'll have in the coming year a three-day fast for this state and this nation together. And then you'll move forward by angelic help. Because the Lord told him in Exodus, once he got them out of Egypt, he said, I'll send an angel before you and tell you everywhere to go and exactly what to do. Do not upset this angel. That angel didn't even show up till 40 years later. Now, and showed up when they finally got ready to cross over into the promised land. That angel was not needed in the earth realm while they were wandering in the wilderness. Let me say two things. You are no longer wandering in the wilderness. This is not a state wandering in the wilderness. It is a state that is on the move for the greater glory. And once they got on the move again, notice the angel shows up. It took 40 years for that angel to come back. Now everybody points whichever way, Eddie and you guys. That angel's already here. And once that angel showed up, he said, I'm here to help you take over. I'm not for you. I'm not against you. I'm just here to take over. You have an opportunity to be taken over by the glory. And the Lord had told Joshua, if you'll meditate day and night on what Moses has said up till now and what I've brought down from heaven, you'll succeed in every step you take. That's why you have to know when they got to Ai and got defeated, some way Joshua hadn't meditated. It wasn't just because that was stolen out of Jericho. It was because some way Joshua didn't meditate long enough before he went up again and brought back the first fruits that had been taken. Now, I have never been as excited as I am for a group. And this is what I want to leave with you. Review, mobilize, and gather this kingdom army for now. There is a whole new remnant that can connect with this remnant and multiplication can begin. There is a divine rehearsal of our promises going on in heaven. And because of that, if you divinely rehearse those promises, you're going to rediscover God's ultimate purpose for this state. I know of no state that has accomplished the reconciliation between heaven and earth as well as you have. Therefore, you're at a place for him to impart the strength to move forward. So, revisit your wells. Revisit the thin places where you've broken through in the past. When you gather, rehearse the goodness of how he came through in past wars to get you where you are today. And then find your places to dig new wells and restake the land. I do want to say, this year you will have to go north, south, east, west, and restake through worship the land and the boundaries. When you do that, the whole state will shake and come alive in a new way. And things will move forward. You are so key in this hour. Let's stand up. I'm going to ask Judah, our worship group, to come back and lead us again. And I'm going to ask Eddie to come up. Father, you have us in the moment here. And in the midst of what is happening in the nation, you called us together here in Florence, Alabama. Lord, there's a divine alignment that's going on. Father, we thank you that you have sent angelic help. Now, just thinking right now that angelic help is already here. Father, we thank you for the acceleration of change ahead. Now, Father, I loose an abundant grace upon this people. And every place they go, they'll carry grace. Lord, I say strengthen their voice. Lord, I loose an awakening to the spirit of prophecy among them. There's a spirit of prophecy in Alabama. Lord, I loose an awakening of the spirit of prophecy. And Father, I thank you that a divine movement will now accelerate. Now I want you to do something. Shout hallelujah as loud as you can.
Lift your hands up and just stretch them up. Father, we say yes. We say yes to all these words for our state. We say yes. Just say that out loud with me. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for what we received. Thank you so very much in Jesus' name. We've got a couple of announcements we'll make at the end, but I don't feel like we just need to disconnect from the flow in the room. And so, Dutch.
Thank you. Thank you. We can be seated. Boy, those lights are bright, I tell you what. Going to show all my blemishes. Just letting them adjust a little bit to the light. Thank you, Chuck. What a powerful word. I'm going to back us up a little bit in time and expand from where Chuck took us to the nation. Obviously, he's talking about just not just Alabama, but the nation. I'm going to focus primarily on the nation, and the Lord can then show you how your part fits and connects with all that. But a couple of experiences I've had with the Lord I'm going to talk about. I don't share this very often. The Lord's beginning to move on me to share these a little more often. But even though a couple of the visitations I'm going to talk about that I've had with the Lord are the most significant encounters I've had with him, I haven't talked about them because they were to prepare me and what I do over the course of my life, but the fulfillment of them was not until this season. Does that make sense? So I haven't talked about it much because it was still out there in the future. What he did and showed me was more for me than for all of us. Now we're moving into the time where it will be appropriate, because we're all moving into that. I hope that makes sense. But in 1990, I think it was, maybe 91, April, I was teaching in a class, Bible college class setting in Spokane, Washington. And as I was speaking, I had an open vision, and it was startling to me because it wasn't a setting in which we were praying, my eyes weren't closed, I wasn't sort of caught up in the spirit. It was just one moment I was seeing the 100 or so people that I was teaching. The next moment, I was seeing a vision, something else. It was like my physical eyes were working, but they wouldn't connect and see the physical realm. All I could see was this vision. And so, obviously, I didn't know what was happening. I'd never had anything like this before. the students could tell I was experiencing something because I stopped talking and just began to, try to get my bearings. But what I saw was a stadium filled with young people. They were probably 20s, young, older teens through 20s age, high school, college, post-college. But they were radically worshiping and praying. It's probably 50, 60,000, maybe more. And they were just on fire. They were just total abandonment to God. And I watched this take place. I had never seen a group of young people of that size, really passionate about Jesus. But it was striking to see it. And then the scene changed, and I was no longer seeing them in the stadium. I was seeing them leave that stadium and go back to their hometowns. And as they got in their vehicles to drive away, they were translated. It's like, it was just a different scene in the vision, into their cities and towns across America. And everywhere they went, balls of fire sprang up. And I knew it was revival fire. And God said, I'm going to visit this nation with another great awakening. And it will begin with the young people. And so I came out of the vision and told the people that were there what happened, and we just began to intercede. And so a month later, I went to Washington, D.C. for my very first National Day of Prayer there. I had never been to one in D.C. So this would have been 91 May. And when I arrived from the airport to the hotel, I got out of the taxi. Cece was with me. A man that I know who was meeting me there stepped up and helped us out of the vehicle. And then he said, there's an interesting event that's taking place here in D.C. this week. And it's called a Bible-thon. And they set up a canopy tent on the lawn of the Capitol. They have a permit, a little small PA system. I don't know that you could get it now, but it was right there on the lawn of the Capitol. And they start on Monday and go through Friday, 24/7. They read the Word of God over the nation toward the Capitol building right there on the property. It's and you don't get to choose your passage of Scripture. People sign up for 15-minute segments, and they start in Genesis, and wherever the last person stops, the next person starts. And when they get to Revelation, the end of Revelation, they go back to Genesis and do it again. And they called it a Bible-thon. And he said, I just felt like you would want to participate in this, so I signed you up because the slots were almost full. And he said, all they had left was through the night, but I signed you up for tomorrow night at 2 a.m. because I just knew you'd want to do it. And I said, absolutely, I want to do it. So when he said all this, the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm going to confirm to you through the passage of Scripture you get to read the vision I just gave you a month ago, that there's a great awakening. There'll be another great awakening in America, and it will begin with the young people. And I told the Lord, I didn't tell anybody this, not even Cece. But I told the Lord, I said, now, Lord, I trust you, but I don't trust me. And I know that I could read my Bible for 15 minutes starting anywhere. And if I get to read it for 15 minutes, I can get revival out of that passage. I told the Lord, I can get revival out of the begats. It doesn't matter where I start. And I can turn something, a word or a phrase or a verse, I can turn it into revival. Say, confirmation, there it is. So I said, I'm not trying to put you in a box, and I'm not trying to tell you what to do. And I'm not doubting you, but I don't trust myself. So the only way that I would really know that it's you confirming this word to me by what I get to read would be if I get to read the book of Haggai or Habakkuk. And I said, that's not a fleece. I'm not telling you, if you do this, I'll believe it. I'm saying to you, because of my own weaknesses and what I know about myself, the only way, because of what you've been saying to me in my devotions and my times with you, the only way it could be a confirmation that you're going to send a third great awakening to America, and it's going to begin with the young people, is if I get to read Haggai or Habakkuk. And I left it with that. I actually told the Lord, if I don't get to read it, one of those books, I'll still believe you. I just won't know that that's the confirmation because of what I just told you. So next day, I got there 30 minutes before my slot and signed the pad, and the lady came up to me and said, you're on in 30 minutes. And I said, yeah. Well, they were nowhere near Haggai or Habakkuk. They were in the New Testament somewhere. And I didn't want the Lord to feel bad, so I told him, you know, I said, it's okay. I just made that up, you know. I mean, I just got in my head somehow. And I still trust you, and I still know that vision's from you, and I know you're going to do this. Don't feel bad. I comforted him. And about a minute or two before my time slot, the lady walked up to me, and I was in charge, and she got this strange look on her face. And she said, Mr. Sheets, when you read, she said, you have your choice. You can either read the book of Haggai or the book of Habakkuk. I don't even know that she knew if she knew what she was doing. It's almost like she just went into this sort of trance or something. And I said, excuse me? And she said, you have your choice. You can either read the book of Haggai or Habakkuk. And I took Habakkuk. And the Lord said, that's how much I want you to know that I am going to send another great awakening to America. And it will begin with the young people. And he said, not only can I give you Haggai or Habakkuk, I can give you your choice. Because that's what you said. Haggai or Habakkuk. Haggai's two chapters, Habakkuk's three. I'm not sure what the odds are that they... Anyway, we all know that was the Lord. Now, I didn't know it was going to take... I didn't know the Lord was starting me on a 30-year journey. I expected revival to break out in the next few days. It's easy for me to look back now and see all that he had to do in this nation and the nations to prepare us for what he's about to do. The restoration that needed to take place, the prayer, the worship, the restoration of the apostolic and the prophetic, and the bringing of a people to a place of hunger and desperation. And it's easy for me to see that now, but I didn't understand it then. But he did start me on a journey. 10 years later, I had an encounter with the Lord, and this was in September of 2000. I got up to speak on a Wednesday night, and I opened my Bible, and as I looked at the people, a wave of dizziness came over me. And I thought I might pass out. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know if it was the Lord or it just felt different. It was strange. And I grabbed the podium and I just stood there for a minute, and I didn't want to alarm people and Cece, and I just said, just wait on the Lord for a minute. And within another couple of seconds, I was weeping. And within another few seconds, I was sobbing uncontrollably. And I still did not yet know what was happening. I couldn't talk. And I put my head on the podium and held on and just began to sob out loud uncontrollably. And Cece grabbed the staff and they talked for a minute, and she came to the mic, and somebody helped me off to the side, and she said, we don't know what God's doing, but we know it's God, and we know what he would want us to do. So we're all going to leave, and we're going to lock him in the building, we're going to put worship on, and we're going to leave him here with God and let God do whatever he's doing. And that's what they did. And for 3.5 hours, I wept with Jesus over America. He and I cried together. And that's when he really imparted to me his heart for this nation. It was strange because as apostate as we had become, it wasn't anger that I felt. It was love. It was father weeping over a prodigal. And I had asked him to give me his heart for America. I had no idea what I was asking for. At one point on the floor, I'd grabbed a flag, I stumbled around and grabbed the American flag and wrapped it around me. And I was on the floor in a puddle of tears, holding the flag. And I remember telling the Lord, please stop this. Because if you don't stop this, I'm going to die. I'd never cried or wept from that place before. Was it from my emotions? It was my heart. And I said, please don't let me die. Please, you got to stop this. I'm going to die of a broken heart. And at one point he said, I must have this nation. And it wasn't just about America. is he said, for what I'm about to do in the coming season, years, around the world, and the harvest that I'm going to gather, I must have America. And you're going to help me get her back. After about 2 or 3 weeks, you know, I tried to continue with business as usual, but I couldn't. I couldn't even function. I couldn't look at a flag without weeping. I couldn't think about America and our condition without weeping. Sometimes I'd drive by a bank building, there'd be a flag, and I'd have to pull off the road and sit for 30, 40 minutes and just cry. And I finally told the Lord, you're going to have to take this off of me and give it to somebody else because I can't do it. I can't carry this. I don't know how. I just can't do it. It's killing me. I said, it's killing me. I can't even function. I can't even drive. And he said, you're trying to carry it in your soul. I'm not going to take it off of you, but I'm going to teach you how to carry it in your spirit. Not your emotions. And so he did. You know, it was only 2 or 3 years later that the Lord sent Chuck and I to all 50 states to bring the word of the Lord to the nation. And I'm going to mention one more encounter. And then I'm going to try to land this thing somehow. But a year after this encounter, I had another vision. And it was the week of 9/11, so it would have been the week we've just experienced, anniversary. And there was a conference taking place in Boise, Idaho. And I was to be one of the speakers. But, of course, when 9/11 hit, all the airlines stopped flying and you couldn't really travel. I didn't know if I'd get there or not. I finally did make it. They continued with the conference and I started flying again, I think, Friday. And I flew there to speak Friday night. It was a traumatic time, as you know. It's a surreal time, really. The nation was in shock. There were, I think, two other people in the airplane besides me. But no one was talking, really. The flight attendants weren't even really talking. They just greeted you. Everybody was in a daze wondering what was happening to the nation. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to say to these people tonight. I don't have a word. I don't know what to do. And they're all going to want a word from you, and I don't have one. I'm just saying, help me somehow. Do something. And by the time the service started, I had some kind of message ready. It wasn't a word from the Lord about what had happened. I just thought, I don't know what to do, so I'll just put something together here. It's a packed house, 1,500 or so people. 300 or 400 of them were young people, college age. And as I was speaking, I saw another open vision. This time it was a finger writing on the back wall of that auditorium. And wherever the finger moved, it became a neon light. And it wrote Acts 3:19. Of course, I was again distracted and watching this, and people were wondering what's happening. And I had a little conversation quickly with the Lord, because I knew what Acts 3:19 said, repent, return. Times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. But I'd analyzed that verse many times, and it was one of the key verses on for me on revival and what God was going to do in the nation. So I told the Lord, not out loud, but in my mind, I said, obviously you're talking. And as soon as I finish this point, the statement I'm making, I'm going straight to Acts 3:19, sir. And the light started flashing on and on. And I knew the interpretation was, I don't want you to finish your point. Go now. And that's really edifying when you realize the Lord is not in the least into anything you're saying right now. But I don't blame him because I can't even remember what I was saying. And so I talked about that verse for a minute. I think I even mentioned what I was seeing. I'm not sure that I did, but I think I may have. But after I talked about that verse and the revival that I knew was coming, maybe 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I started seeing another open vision. And it was as though the back wall became a movie screen. And again, eyes wide open, I was just like in a movie theater watching this play out before my eyes. And he started showing me what was coming when this revival came. And I started seeing him send revival fire to the campuses of America. Again, it began with the young people, high school campuses, college campuses. And I watched something that was unlike anything I've ever witnessed. I've read about similar type things in history, but I've still not yet seen what I observed in this vision. Because this revival was beyond, it was intense, it was fire, it was out of control in a good way. He began to move and take over campuses literally with the spirit of revival. And the fires of revival spread from campus to campus, from west to east, north to south. Thousands of young people were coming to Jesus and falling in love with him. It wasn't orchestrated by anybody. It wasn't controlled by anyone. It was really not even platform-led, because I saw these students gather and there wouldn't even be a platform. They'd just be worship, spontaneous worship. And then God would begin to move and students would begin to tell the rest of them what God was doing. People were healed, young people were healed, set free. And one of the scenes he showed me, it was a room with 1,000, 1,500 of these students just worshiping God, and mass deliverance began to occur. Nobody was praying for anyone. I don't even think, based on what I was seeing, that they really understood what was happening. But people began to cry out all over the room, and demons were leaving people. They couldn't stand the presence of God that was there. Administrators from these schools would come and try to stop it, and they couldn't even stand in the presence of God. They would just fall to the floor and get out of the way. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "No one will stop what I'm about to do." It will not be stopped. It was so out of control and it was so out of the box. And these kids were anything but religious. Most of them didn't know anything about God when it started. It was so out of the box and they were so radical. I remember turning to the leaders on the platform at one point, because I narrated this vision for about 20, 30 minutes at least, telling them what I was seeing. And at one point I turned to the leaders and I said, this is going to be very, very hard to steward. And it is humorous to hear that. But it wasn't humorous then. There was a fear of the Lord in the room. And we all knew, and they all knew, that what I was saying was literal. This is going to be very hard to steward. Not because of rebellion, but because none of us had ever seen anything like it. And these kids wanted anything but religion. Nobody was going to put them in a box and say, this is how you do it. It was raw. It was wild and passionate, but it was real. And it was bringing holiness, but it wasn't called holiness. They didn't have names for things. I saw one student being interviewed, and the person was asking them, how did this become holy? You guys are just, you stop doing this and that, and you're not living the way you used to live. What happened to change that? And the student who's being interviewed just said, well, I don't know. I just fell in love with Jesus, and he just took the desire away from me to do the drugs and the other things. I just didn't want to do it anymore. They had no theological package to put it in. He just said, I'm just doing what I want to do. I just want to worship Him. I want to serve Him. I want to give my life to Him. I don't want to do those things anymore. No one orchestrated. No one preached on, you got to stop this. They just, from the inside out. So, now speed this up and try to finish this. I've known for the last 2-3 years, I don't know, maybe longer, maybe 4, I don't know, that we had moved into the beginning stage of this. Beginning, nowhere near where it's going. Several months ago, I came across a YouTube video, and I saw a gathering in, I don't even know where it was, but it was a passion worship gathering in a stadium. You can Google passion worship. Agnes Dye, is that how you say it? Day or die? Day? But hallelujah. You know the song I'm talking about. Well, they start singing this song in the stadium of about 50,000 kids, all young people. And the Lord just kind of came and took over. They sang this for, I think, probably 20 minutes. And they just kept panning the stadium. And these students were literally just lost in the Spirit of God. And finally, the platform, they just got on their knees and just let it continue. A cappella just throughout the stadium. And it was one of the most profound things. You should watch it. It's one of the most profound things I've ever seen. And I heard the Lord say, and I knew it. I said to Cece, this is that. That vision I had in Spokane. this is what I saw. It's here. It's here. And I've been watching it increase in momentum, trying to feed it with, you know, prayer, just whatever you feel like you can do to kind of fan the flames. And then this week when Charlie Kirk was shot, I started getting texts immediately, probably within seconds. Pray. And I did pray, and I prayed earnestly. But from the moment I heard it, anytime I would start to pray, all I could hear from the Lord was Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And I knew what that was. It's the story of Stephen, martyred. And I kept saying, but Lord, does it have to be this? Please, give us a miracle. Acts chapter 7. And deep in my heart, I knew he wouldn't make it. But I also knew that God was saying, just as happened in the book of Acts, because by the way, that was the event that gripped the heart of Saul of Tarsus. And it's what God used to save him. And it scattered the church to all Judea and Samaria and eventually the othermost parts of the earth. There's probably no event in the book of Acts that spurred the turning of the world upside down any more than the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. And the Lord said to me, when they thought they destroyed him, I went and read it in the Passion translation. At one point, they became so filled with rage as they were beginning to stone him just before. They literally put their hands over their ears, gnashed with their teeth, and began to scream. And the Passion says, trying to drown out his voice. That all they did was light a match and put it to the fuse. And he said this to me, Stephen is still preaching today. He preached through Paul and all the converts, and then he wrote half the New Testament through Paul, and we're still reading and talking about it today. And he said to me, I'm going to use this martyrdom of this man. I could have done with him what I did President Trump and supernaturally had him move and the bullet miss. But I've chosen to let him be a martyr and spark this movement. And I'm here to say to you today, it has begun. It has begun. And what will now occur will launch this movement to a level that no person could have done. No message preached could have done it. But this has now galvanized a movement. And there will be millions of young people that decide to follow Jesus because of this. And the fires of revival will now begin to burn even more than they've been burning on the campuses of America. And nothing will stop what is coming. Nothing will stop it. And I know, just as Chuck said, there obviously will be some who reject it. I'm not trying to imply that the whole nation will say yes to this. You know, when the Lord returns, there are sheep and goat nations. And there are going to be a few goat states, I imagine. But that doesn't mean the revival won't come to that state and save thousands, millions of people. It may just mean that the government itself and the structure won't change and they'll continue to resist him. But anybody there that wants to find him will be able to get in on it. Yeah. So it's not surprising to me as I sit here today and listen to Chuck. He's trying to, you know, articulate what he's seeing about here and this state and what God's about to do and why we're here today. And I, of course, ask myself the same question because I know my times are in his hand. And I know I try diligently to go where he sends me when he says go. I've been trying to get back with Eddie here for a few years until Giving 15 took over my life. But we were supposed to be here this week. This week. To announce what he said and what I'm saying to you now. The match has been lit. And nothing will stop what God is about to do in the revival that's coming to this nation. So, Father, we say yes to you. We say yes to the fire of revival. We say yes to the blazing fire of your Holy Spirit that's coming to America, the campuses of America, the high schools, the junior high schools, the grade schools, the nurseries, the college campuses. Let the fire of awakening burn across this nation. Nothing will stop this. Bring it, Lord, this third great awakening to America, but a first or second, whatever it might be, awakening to other nations of the earth. Because this is not just about us. You said, I must have this nation. Because of what I'm going to do around the world, I must have this nation. And I will have this nation. So, Lord, we agree with you. You will have this harvest in America. The angels are here and ready, and the angel is here in Alabama to say, I'm on duty and I'm ready to do it. And we declare, Lord, we decree boldly, those angels are going to come to attention in other states. Because we're going to decree your words, not just in Alabama, but across the nation. And we have an army. You have an army you have marshaled. And Lord, you're getting ready to do something very unique as you light the flames of revival with this young generation. And they are going to reform the earth for you. They're going to be carriers of revival to this nation and the nations of the earth. They will be the greatest company of transformers earth has ever, ever seen or experienced. And we release it now in Jesus' name. And we say that this martyrdom will not cause war. It will not cause the defeat of a movement or the destruction of a nation. We say it will only fan the flames of revival. It will light the fire of Jesus in a generation. And it will release a wave of evangelists. It will release a new wave of worship, of prayer, of intercession, of love. And it will bring peace, not war. And it will bring life, not death. And you will have your harvest. You will have your harvest.
Now, while we're in this place, we need to pray for every campus in Alabama. Now, Father, right now, we decree you have released through the atmosphere the Word of God to the campuses in Alabama. Father, we decree that that Word will begin to work. And Lord, it will unlock what needs to be unlocked. Father, we thank you for the worship that will overtake the campuses in Alabama. Father, we thank you that though harm is stirring above in the second heaven, worship will rule in Alabama campuses. Eddie, you and Mickey, y'all come up here real quick. Now, Father, we thank you that you have chosen a place to make visible your time of visitation. Father, I thank you for Dutch and his voice. Father, we decree that voice will now cause a penetrating awakening. Now, Father, you brought us here to Alabama. And, Lord, your word over Alabama is double portion is in your midst. Ooh. Mm. Now, Father, you also sent us here to say, in 2 days, I hear that scripture, I mean, it's like the Spirit of God is saying, in 3 days, sanctify yourself. And God's saying it not to just us, but he's saying it to Israel. The Lord says in 3 days, because you are here in the state that first acknowledged Israel as my covenant nation, in this nation, I say to you, because of that, in 3 days, decisions will be made in Israel that change the course of the nations of the earth. I say to America, because you have focused and aligned properly, you will begin to see the movement that I'm releasing today. Father, we thank you. This meeting, you had to gather us. And Father, because of that, something, Lord, I loose a double portion on everybody that walked into this place. Lord, I say they're going to double. They're going to be able to see how to multiply. And I even heard the Lord say while Dutch was speaking, this is not going to be difficult. The Lord says, I am going to start moving on my Judah, on Judah throughout Alabama, and that troop will see a penetration of areas that have never been seen. And the Lord said, this is going to go from state to state to state until states have chosen the way. Now every state will have a move of God, but not every state will establish the move of God. Lord, I decree Alabama establishes this move of God. Lord, we loose it now in Jesus' name.
Eddie, let's do one song. Can we just do a song real quick? We're just going to do one song of worship before we wrap this up.
Glorify your name.
Yes.
Glorify your name.
Wow.
Glorify your name in all the earth. Sing it again. Oh, glorify your name. Yes, we do. Glorify thy name.
Wow. Seven years ago, this was just a plot of red dirt in this area. I was in a worship service, had an open vision. I saw, we had acquired this property. It was just a plot of red dirt. I had an open vision, and the Lord showed me this building in place, that grassy lawn out there that Chuck mentioned. In the vision, an angel came down. He had a sword out and in his hand, had a harp in the other hand. And I was given a word for our congregation from the Lord, and that was followed by the winds blowing from all four directions and this resources coming. And as I've heard these brothers share today, we've heard a word from the Lord today, but also out of their walk with God, we've learned something about the ways of God here today. And please don't let that escape your attention as well. Over time, what God has put in place so that he can bring fulfillment. And for me, Chuck coming in March and seeing that angel was such a confirmation. And now being back here in September on the seventh year, right place, right time, right people. It's now. It's now. And I just so bear witness to that. And I know we're here from all over the state, and the Lord's speaking something for where you are. I believe we've all got a deposit to carry back wherever we're coming from. And in less than a month, we're going to be in Oxford for the Feast of Tabernacles. Pastor Kent, would you come? Just give us a word about that, because everyone's invited. I know you're wanting all 67 counties.
Yeah, October 4th on Saturday, Chuck will be back at Feast of Tabernacles. We'll have all 67 counties gathered there in Oxford. It should be a very significant gathering. And then if I could mention as well, because we believe the states surrounding Alabama, we're moving together. And so out of this house, the McKissicks will be hosting in Tennessee with Chuck November 8th. And it's going to be a powerful, powerful time there. And then November 7th, prior to that, a gathering of all the Hispanic brothers and sisters in Alabama with Chuck in Albertville at Light of the Nations Church. And so these are significant counties, events that we have to mobilize around. And I know you've heard so much, but I just really feel like I need to say this, if this is okay. Sorry. Excuse me. 20 years ago, the year I met Chuck, a prophet came from Australia named Neville Johnson, and he prophesied almost word for word what Dutch said today, that there would be such a move of God. And he said from Psalms 24, there will be a generation that seeks the Lord and finds him. And that it would be young people. And it would be so powerful that people would walk in totally whacked out on drugs. And it wouldn't be 12 steps. It would just be one step. It's in, it's over. And he said, but there would be, he said, but there also, he said, his own daughter died in Australia going to win a friend back to the Lord. And the Lord showed him there would be martyrs. That there would be such a move that some people would be so in love with Jesus, young people would be begging the Lord, let me go for you. Let me be the one. And when it did, martyrdom did happen, it was like the glory would explode out of that martyr and would literally, cities would be saved in a moment because of these actions. Well, that was 20 years ago. And we said yes, and we said yes to Alabama. Then we said yes to Chuck, and yes to Dutch, and yes to the prophecies. But this 20 years, but just this season, I said, Lord, is it now? And the Lord said, now is the time. I said, well, Lord, I know this sounds bizarre, but I would really like to know. When Neville was at our church, while he was delivering this prophecy, his watch stopped. And he says, this marks an end of a season and a season that will now come. And prophesied almost word for word what Dutch said here today. That night, I gave him my watch. And I prophesied to him, because the watch I gave him was a perpetual movement, that whenever this move does happen, it would be a move that would not stop. It would be perpetual without end. I said, Lord, if this is really you, Neville died, went to be with the Lord September 1st, 2019. I said, Lord, I know it's been 18, almost 20 years, but I want that watch back. As a sign that what you're saying is really true, that now is the time. And so I just by a rare act of faith, I emailed Australia, found his son, found his wife, told him what I just told you here today. And I said, if by any measure you had that watch, I'd love to have it back. Well, the watch I'm wearing is the one they sent me from Australia. And I knew the Lord was saying, now's the time. Now's the time to stake our claim. Now's not the time to back up. Now's not the time to be discouraged. I just wanted to affirm that I do believe exactly what they said is the word of the Lord, and we are in it now in Jesus' name.
Amen. And you said, Neville, that was out of Psalm 24, which is the King of Glory passage. And here we are at the King of Glory gathering. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. If you would, put the purple slide with the offering information. We want to bless these brothers that are here. And Bishop Kyle Searcy is going to be here with us tomorrow. Yeah. And so we want to receive an offering for that. We're going to have people with baskets at all the exits. And here are the ways that you can give online and text to give. You can read that. I won't read it for you. Just pray and ask God what he would have you to give. Some of you may want to just come and lay it on these altar benches. But before we go, one other thing. I'm going to ask Bishop Kyle to come because several times Chuck said Montgomery's Key. And so, brother, you're ground zero there. Come and yes, just pray. If there's something on your heart you want to say, let it rip.
We say yes and amen. Yes, God, to what you're going to do in Alabama. Yes, God, to what you're going to do in this nation. Yes, God, to all the seeds that have been sown that are going to release a harvest of your glory touching this nation. Father, anything that's trying to stand in the way of what you're going to do, we ask that you remove it out of the way, God. We ask that you move with lightning speed, move with a great grace, move with fire, move with glory, move with zeal, and establish your name in this nation. Lord, we thank you for the way you do things, for the way you move. We thank you for causing our eyes to see, causing us to be alive at a time like this. We thank you for your glory touching America and touching the nations of the earth like never before. God, we say yes and amen. We're in it, and we'll see it with our own eyes. Thank you for Dutch. Thank you for Chuck. And I want to honor a legacy of men. I want to honor a legacy of men who haven't given up. I was thinking about this on the way here for years. And I never heard your story. I never knew what touched your heart and what grabbed you. But a man who could have given up years ago, a man who could have looked at the state of this nation and just said, it's over. But he plowed. He prayed. He decreed. He raised up intercessors. And now look where we are. And a man who's traveled this nation more than anybody else, more miles than anybody can imagine. Times he didn't have to go. Money's not their goal. Fame's not their goal. They care about God's glory in this nation. And I was thinking about this on the way here. I want to honor a legacy of men who do not give up, who did not quit, and that history and heaven will testify of every seed you guys have sown. Instead of clapping, would you stretch your hands out to them and say, God, don't just reward them, but reward their generation. Reward their seed after them. Reward for years to come, the generations that come from their loins, spiritually and naturally. Reward them. Honor them. Let all the sacrifice of these men be rewarded and be released and be recompensed in the generation to come. We thank you for soldiers and warriors like this. And we declare over their lives the best is yet to come. Thank you for your smile upon them. Thank you in days ahead. They will rest in what they've laid down. They'll ride on the tracks that they've laid. And they will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of America and the nations. We thank you in Jesus' name. Now let's put our hands together and thank God for these men. I honor you, sirs. I love you. God bless you, Eddie.
Thank you for being here. God bless you. Tomorrow morning, 8:30, 10 a.m., Bishop Kyle will be here. May God bless you wherever you serve and minister. We've so honored that you've been here.